On this first Sunday of Advent, we turn for our scripture reading to the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we will read the first 18 verses of this chapter. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So far, the gospel reading. May the Spirit of God write these words upon our hearts. And for this morning's text, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This text can also be translated, as it is in the Revised Standard Version, he came to his own home, but his own did not receive him. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, here we are on the first Sunday of Advent, and by the calendar of the church, it is today, not before, but today, when we as Christians, when we as a congregation, as part of the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ, we begin to focus our attention on Christmas, the coming into this world of God's Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, which we celebrate on the 25th of December. Advent marks the beginning of the Christmas season for the church. But we know all around us in Canada today that is certainly not the case. It was way back in October when I walked into one of the big stores, I think it was Walmart, and already there were Christmas decorations displayed for sale. And certainly those of us who watch a bit of TV know that advertisements have been telling people for weeks already, it's time to get out and to buy those Christmas presents. It seems that all around us, the world is already caught up in what is for them the Christmas season, a secular season indeed. It seems that Christmas is a big celebration, but there are those who don't share in this. There are those to whom Christmas means nothing at all, or who have very negative feelings about it. I was reading an article of news online about an imam in one of the mosques in Toronto who said that he tells his people that they should have nothing to do with Christmas. If they talk about Christmas, if they celebrate anything about Christmas, Allah will be furiously angry with them. And of course, many of us know the story written by the famous English author Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. If you haven't read the book, perhaps you've seen one of the several movies that have been made based on the story. In that story, the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge, hates Christmas. He just hates it. He rejects it because, well, after all, he loses a day of business. The glad tidings of Christmas he rejects with a bah, humbug. He had no place in his heart for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, not even for the outward trappings of a more secular Christmas. How many today are just like Ebenezer Scrooge? Now, I dare say that if you asked most Canadians, they would deny it. They would say, "No way, I'm not like Ebenezer Scrooge. I love Christmas. I never say, bah, humbug. I like giving and getting Christmas presents. I love going to Christmas parties. I enjoy decorating the house and seeing all the Christmas lights." There are those who would say they love Christmas. But I dare say that for most Canadians, for many, their true sentiments are quite different. When it comes to the actual fact of Christmas, that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to be your Savior and mine, to be the only way that we can be reconciled to God, their reaction would not be Merry Christmas, but rather it would be bah, humbug. And that's something that the Bible in John chapter 1 reveals to us Christians. It's no secret. The Bible, God's word, always sheds light upon everything, all that is important. And we must understand that the Bible is telling us that that people around us can enjoy the outward trappings of Christmas, all the decorations, the parties, the presents. They can enjoy all that and yet reject the basic truth. And as we know, a real and honest celebration of Christmas does not depend on all those outward trappings, not at all, but rather it's the heart commitment to Jesus Christ, the Savior sent by the Father into the world. That's what counts most of all. To love the forms and novelties, the almost pagan atmosphere that surrounds Christmas in Canada in 2019, and yet to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, to refuse to come to him in faith, is to reject Christmas and to make the 25th of December meaningless. And so, dear people, I would invite you to search your heart and to guard your soul at this time of year to make sure that you may, by God's grace, experience a holy and blessed celebration of Christmas, remembering the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. Now, our text, John 1, verse 11, very naturally divides itself into two parts, and we're going to consider it that way. It says there, in the first part of verse, he came to that which was his own. As I mentioned, the Revised Standard Version translate that, he came to his own home. The Apostle John shows us very clearly that right at the start of the gospel, Jesus is revealed as the divine Son of God, the eternal Word, the eternal Son, who ruled over all through ages upon ages together with his heavenly Father. The Son was there at the very beginning, at creation. All things were made through him. And when the time was just right, in the fullness of time, God the Father sent his Son into the world, a world which he knew well. Every mountain and valley, as the divine Son of God, he knew, for he is the Creator. Every human experience, he knew well. For the Son of God to be born into this world was a tremendous miracle, requiring of him great humility. But in a sense, it was a homecoming for him. Since by right, this world and all that is in it belongs to him. And more than that even, the Lord Jesus came to the Jews, the Old Testament people of God. Jesus was born in the midst of a nation that knew the Old Testament scriptures and knew them well. They were the ones, the chosen nation of all the earth, who received the Old Testament promises of the covenant. They were the ones to whom God sent the prophets and to whom the prophets revealed all those testimonies regarding the coming of the Messiah, the coming of God's Son into the world. And Jesus came at a time when God's people expected the Messiah. The nation of the Jews longed for deliverance. There was great spiritual expectation at that time. Many people then, they really believed that the time was right and that God was going to send the Messiah at any moment. People took their religion seriously. And the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, they were at that time men of nationwide influence. The people listened to them. Jesus was born at that time to that people. He was born a descendant of David in the city of David, Bethlehem, where the scribes knew he was going to be born. All circumstances were working together. The Lord was coming. He arrived, born a child, born into his own world, born among his own people, born a descendant of David, born of a virgin pure and undefiled. In every single detail, Jesus was born just as the prophets had promised. It was like a homecoming. Expected, longed for, prayed for, an event without parallel in all the history of the world. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He came, as it were, to his own home. But, says our text, but his own did not receive him. Did the Old Testament covenant people of God welcome the Lord Jesus with open arms? No. Did they welcome him with believing hearts? No. By and large, they rejected him. There were those citizens of Bethlehem, many of them descendants of the family of Jesse, David's family. But when Mary and Joseph came to that city, the Bible tells us there was no place for them, no place for Mary's son, who was born in a stable in Bethlehem. And there were those scribes in Jerusalem. They knew that when Herod, that wicked king, inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born, they knew that wicked Herod had to be up to something. But with no desire to receive the Christ child, they told him where Jesus was to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. And we know from Scripture that hearing that, the wise men went out from Jerusalem. They went to Bethlehem. And their departure from Jerusalem could not have been some kind of secret thing. The people saw them go. And they went and came to Bethlehem. And those wise men received the Lord with reverence and gave him gifts. But the scribes, the Pharisees, the citizens of Jerusalem, they stayed in their own place. They didn't bother to go down the road to Bethlehem. Jesus found no welcoming home at the first Christmas. He found a cold and cruel world that would give him much pain, a world which, for the most part, was dedicated and content in their sinful ways, and would not receive him in faith and obedience. And notice how the Spirit of God inspired the Apostle John to write our text. It was not written that, those Gentile sinners did not receive him. It's not written that, those heathens and publicans, they did not receive him. To the shame of God's people, it is written, he came to his own home and his own people did not receive him. Good people like the Pharisees, who so carefully obeyed the very letter of the law. Religious people like the Sadducees, so busy doing all their priestly duties in the temple. Intellectual people like those scribes who had the benefit of an excellent education and had developed a very complex system of religious philosophy. Good people, religious people, the worldly wise, all of them rejected Jesus. There can be no doubting the sinfulness of men and women. Even those who should have known better, even those who had every advantage, even those who knew all there was to know about religion, they rejected the Christ. And because they turned away from him, God also turned away from them. That hardness of heart in Israel led God to send out his truth into all the world so that the Gentiles would hear, so that people like you and me could hear and turn from our wicked way and live. So then, at the first Christmas, the Son of God came to his own home, and his own people did not receive him. The Savior was born, and his birth was ignored. For so many there in Judea at that time, the first Christmas was rejected. They had no use for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our Christmas admonition. Now, that may sound a little bit strange. After all, the world around us looks at Christmas time, this time of year, as the most sentimental time of year. A time when we should think happy thoughts. Be happy. A Christmas admonition? Yes. And appropriate for those who are going to be preparing their hearts for Holy Communion next Sunday. Oh, people, we must be very careful lest God say in 2019 that He gave to us, to you and me, every opportunity to know and love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we, His own church-going people, did not receive Him. It's not all that convenient and it's not all that easy to receive and accept the truth of Christmas. Think of the struggle that Joseph had, a struggle so deep that God had to send an angel in a dream to explain things to Joseph. It's not all that easy to accept and believe the truth of Christmas. And so what we see all around us are hordes of people celebrating a secular Christmas, which is a rejection of the truth and ultimately of the Lord Himself. The greatest blessing at Christmas is to receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to know and believe and confess that God sent His Son into the world to save you and me. To enjoy Christmas parties and decorations and all the rest, and not to know and not to worship the Christ is to reject Christmas entirely. It is as sure and as fatal a rejection as if you had said, "Bah, humbug," to the whole business. We are God's own New Testament people. We know the promises. We know what a blessing it is to share in the covenant of grace. But I fear that we can reach a point in our spiritual life when even that great truth becomes something commonplace, not all that interesting anymore. What a tragedy it would be if we rejected Christmas by neglecting to crown the Prince of Peace as Lord of our lives. What a shame if the exalted reality of Christmas, that the only begotten Son of God was born of a virgin, came into this world, did His work of ministry for our salvation, if that most wondrous story would become just commonplace to us. It can happen. Even here among us, even in your heart, even in mine, years ago at the actual event of Christmas, God sent His Son, and Scripture tells us His own people did not receive Him. May God's Spirit so work in our hearts and souls that this Christmas season, we may be assured by faith that we have received this greatest gift of God the Father into our hearts, the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Though others may reject him, let us receive him gladly. Receive him as he is, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, born to remove the curse from us, so that we exiles may return to our heavenly Father's home. Oh, dear friend, do not reject, but accept God's great gift to you, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of God, work within our hearts, we pray, that by faith we may receive with joy and gladness Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, we do enjoy all the outward trappings of this season. There is a beauty to it. But help us not to get so caught up in the world's secular Christmas that we ignore or belittle the very essence of what Christmas truly is, a celebration of the birth of your dear Son, our Savior and our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.